If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
We want to be human, and we want to build a relationship that when it comes time to negotiate, that relationship will hopefully lead to them being a little bit stickier of a tenant, because every building we buy, we want the tenants to stay.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Dan has actively invested in real estate since 2011, focusing on well-located investments with strong cash flow in markets from California to Texas. In 2017, Dan began divesting his single-family residence portfolio to focus on commercial real estate acquisitions. At Driven Capital Partners, Dan's focus is on asset management and investor relations. Dan retired from a 12-year professional soccer career in 2017, where he most recently played for LA Galaxy. He was selected by his peers to represent Major League Soccer players as an executive board member for the Players Association, and in this role, he was responsible for collective bargaining agreement negotiations, strategic planning, executive team building, and budget approval. As a former athlete, Dan is passionate about educating all professional athletes on real estate investing and the tremendous benefits of establishing a strong real estate portfolio leading into life after an athletic career. Dan, welcome to the show.
Sam, thanks for having me, buddy.
Hey, man, the pleasure's all mine. You know, we were kind of talking here offline before we kicked this off. I'm really excited to jump in today's interview because you're doing some really cool stuff. And I'd really just love to hear from Major League Soccer to here. Where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
As I was playing soccer, I knew my career was going to be short. And I was fortunate to play 12 years. But I really, through that time, focused on how I was going to create passive income so that when I retired, I wasn't starting over, going and finding some new job. Hmm. And as timing would have it, I started investing in 2011. So the residential real estate market was at a huge discount when you look at, you know, today's values. So that created some momentum, and with success, it just drove my interest into investing in real estate and then trying to help people invest in real estate. And then I went to business school at USC while I was still playing for the Galaxy, got some more exposure to syndication and investing in apartments and understanding how to actually scale this, right? Investing in single family homes, though fun and profitable, it's very difficult to scale.
Very difficult.
So yeah. This, you know, led Matt and I on the pursuit of what is Driven Capital Partners. And we are operators of commercial real estate assets. We focus on two types of investments. One's forced value creation, where this is our apartment investing in Santa Barbara, California, or value add apartment investing out of state, where we sacrifice a little bit of passive income or cash flow during the hold period, but it's to reposition the asset to make it worth a lot more once it's stabilized. And then we love out of state industrial warehouses, where we're just providing. But we're buying in really tight submarkets where vacancy is somewhere in the 3-5% range. And we're buying what we think are really good value investments with really strong cash flow. So just chasing yield. So that's the high level what we're doing. And where I started, how I got here was a long road of some knocks and just trying to learn along the way and be humble and make sure that we're not getting over our skis. You know, we're being true to our investors and ourselves and going through the process that it takes to make good decisions on the front end of an investment.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really curious. Let's start with the Santa Barbara investments that you guys do. How did you, or why did you pick such a narrow market, and how did you do that?
Yeah, it's a very narrow market. I went to UC Santa Barbara and undergrad. And, you know, the beautiful thing about real estate is it's very inefficient. Like if we think about investing in the Dow Jones and stocks, it's a very efficient marketplace in which there is trading every single day to make sure that every stock is valued. And it's hard to understand in a moment's notice where you can create value, right? We're riding the waves of this very volatile marketplace today in the equities world. Well, in real estate, you can be on a street and you can have two identical 8-unit apartment complexes side by side, and they have completely different valuations because of the way that they're being operated. And so this is the mismatch we're looking for. We chose Santa Barbara for two reasons. We want Driven Capital Partners' home to be Santa Barbara. So it's home to us. We need to be able to do business there, and we need to prove to our investors that, well, the market that these guys are in is actually very challenging, but it can be rewarding. So it's challenging from a planning perspective, and it's also challenging from a deal flow perspective. Now, we leverage relationships to access deal flow. And so we have very good relationships with the brokers that are in town. We try to feed them in a way where they get to rep our deals when we sell them. And then also they know that when a seller is considering selling their asset, that we move quickly, and we are good buyers. So building that reputation kind of starts to feed us the deals. We also have an amazing, and this is key, property management team in town. We use third-party property managers. We have someone that does a very good job running apartments efficiently. And then our strategy always has some component of value add. Like, we have to remove tenants, we have to reposition the asset, and then we have to lease it up. Well, there's a lot of construction costs that come into play, and we need to make sure that our underwriting, our analysis is accurate, and then we can execute on it. And so having a good general contractor is key, and we have that too. We've built this team to be very successful in a market that is difficult to do business in, but with great risk comes great reward. And now you're on the Riviera of California. I am biased, but I think it's the most beautiful place in California. And it's a place where people are always going to choose to live. So if you hear the metrics, oh, people are moving out of California, population of Santa Barbara is still growing, because it's a place people want to live. People are making the decision that they want to go move there. So we want to help solve the housing crisis.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, because you're right. I mean, people are, you hear the negative news. Everyone's leaving California. You hear, you know, I've got enough, and I'm sure you do as well, but, you know, friends in the business who are like, we just don't invest in California. But you guys have figured out a way to cut through all the red tape, or at least deal with the red tape, and make not just a profitable business, but an excellent business there. How are you guys getting, when you set up, made a point earlier, you said where you removed maybe the tenants that are problem tenants or things like that. Like, what's that been like in a COVID/post-COVID environment?
Yeah, we try to provide solutions for people. It's not like we're knocking on the door, we're the big bad wolf, and you have to get out. That's not our intention. The state has some guidelines if you are investing into the asset that says if you're like renovating the building significantly, then you can remove these tenants based on the state law. Now, all of that was put on hold with COVID. What we've done is we go above that minimum threshold. And so we go to the tenants and we say, hey, listen, like, the building you're living in is in disrepair. You know that. So we're buying assets that are under real stress, typically major plumbing issues, electrical issues. So we want to go and solve that. You, Sam, let's say you're renting a unit. I am coming to you and saying, hey, listen, we just bought the building. We're going to substantially renovate it. It's going to be a construction zone here. You can live here if you want, but it's going to be a mess. I just want to forewarn you. The one thing we can do is the state law says we need to give you 1 month's rent. We'll give you two. And then this is our property manager. He has 6 units that are available that are very similar to this, price point wise, very similar spec, that you can move into now. We'll pay for the moving truck. So this is like, we're trying to be proactive in our approach and placing tenants in other buildings. And in some of our buildings, we have very low income or affordable housing components to it. So we can actually take tenants from one project, put them into another project that's basically brand new, and they're potentially paying lower rent in a program that they didn't know existed. So these are the types we want to be creative, and we want to get ahead of these problems that you alluded to, right? And give them a good experience. Because the other reality is these buildings that we're purchasing are in disrepair, and we don't think people should be living there.
Right. Right. Well, no, I mean, you're absolutely right. There's enough places and enough buildings that I probably wouldn't want my dog living there.
So we have a light value add component to what we do, but the majority of us stuff we do in Santa Barbara is like down to the studs, new drywall, new electrical, new plumbing, everything.
Wow. That's a heavy lift.
Yeah, it sure is.
Wow. That's really cool. And so you guys do, obviously you guys are investing there in Santa Barbara. Then you started investing out of state in other value add multifamily projects.
Yeah, Sam. And when we were talking before we got on, we typically have 16 to 20 assets under management at any given time. 75% of those assets are out of state.
Wow.
So to give you some context as to like, you know, how much business we're doing in California versus our overall portfolio of assets, the majority of assets we own are out of state. And it's because of the yield that we can return to our investors when we're investing out of state. So we are opportunistic. COVID definitely put us on pause and come up with a new thesis in a way. When we started Driven Capital Partners, we were focused on apartments, medical offices, and industrial warehouses based on their previous performances during recessions. Those were the three most solid asset classes. So that's how we started Driven Capital Partners. That was our thinking. And we worked extremely hard to develop relationships in each of those asset classes and markets that we loved: Huntsville, Alabama, Boise, Idaho. Throughout the Midwest, we love industrial warehouse because it is the center of the United States. You can touch 75% of the population in one day's drive from the Midwest. So that you start thinking about logistics and all of the production that is coming back into the United States. So we've been chasing yield in this marketplace that is uncertain with COVID in our lives. What we want is a very safe place to invest. We're not looking for crazy returns. What we're looking for is consistent returns. And during the hold, we want to pay down a bunch of principal of our loans so that when we look up in 3 to 5 years, we've made a really good return on the investment we've made into these assets.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes a heck of a lot of sense. How are you moving, or how are you, I'm going to use the word pitch, but that's probably the wrong word. How are you presenting this to investors such that it makes sense to them when you might say something to the effect of, hey, you know what, this is a lower return, but it's a stable return? I mean, are you finding that that is a conversation that goes over well?
Yeah, well, Sam, I mean, so we have 130 investors or so, and they're experiencing it, right? Like these investors have all invested in I think almost all of them, but a few have invested in multiple deals. And the few that have not invested in multiple deals, their first deal was the last deal, right? Now, they understand that what we're trying to provide is a diversified portfolio for people. So you're diversified in geographical region, maybe in St. Louis, maybe in Minneapolis, maybe in Huntsville, Santa Barbara, right? You're also diversified in asset class. And then you're also diversified from a timing perspective, because we do roll up, you know, maybe two or three assets a quarter. But if you're investing consistently with us, you're going to spread that out over a year where it's like, oh, I invested in four deals with DCP and it was one deal each quarter, right? And I just invested in two warehouses, so maybe I'll invest in an apartment deal. So people understand that like what we're doing is our projected return profile is supposed to be risk adjusted, right? So if I show you an out-of-state multi-tenant industrial warehouse deal in the core of St. Louis, and it's a 13 IRR, right? It's a solid return. And it produces 8% cash flow in year one. We're going to pass that on to the investor as a preferred return. So you're going, well, I can accept a lower overall return profile at a 13 IRR because I know I'm going to receive roughly 8% annually in passive income. So what we're working for is just, this is our passive income vehicle. Now, on the contrary, you go and invest in an apartment deal, maybe it's a 17 to 18 IRR investment, but for 2 years, there's no cash flow because we buy the asset, we go through planning, which takes 6 months or so to get permit, 6 months to a year to get permits. Okay. So then once we have our permits, then it's time to go and talk with the tenants and let them know what's happening at the building level. And then for some period of time, maybe 6 months, we don't have cash flow because we're in the middle of construction. So because of the cash flow of the asset being strong to nothing, and then to stronger, we feel it's just the prudent thing to do to hold on to all cash, all property level cash flow, and service the debt and manage the asset while we're repositioning it. And then once we stabilize it, it's time for this. Do we sell it? Do we refinance it? Do we 1031 exchange it? What are we doing? And we always make, I mean, we have a pretty good idea that we're going to be selling the asset once it's stabilized, but we'll always talk to our investors in the deal and see what their preference is.
Right. That's really fascinating. What turned your eye to industrial, and what was that first investment like?
Well, it largely market driven. The industrial warehouse asset class as a whole has performed admirably during COVID. We were investing prior to COVID in the industrial space, but this has furthered our belief in the asset class. So, long-winded answer was, we were looking at growing marketplaces, Huntsville being the first one. And Huntsville has a very dynamic job growth marketplace, which leads to population growth. And what we wanted to do is take advantage of being early there. We were looking at the industrial parks adjacent to the airport, adjacent to where FedEx is and UPS is. I mean, it sounds simple, and it is. I mean, that was to the extent of our strategy, and it's paid off well. And the strategy, it was put into place because of data. Like, it wasn't Matt and I creating this whiteboard of ideas and seeing what sticks. It was, no, this is what the data is showing us. Let's go invest in some really fundamentally sound marketplaces from a growth perspective, and we will benefit. Well, we have benefited over the last 3 years from doing this. So now what we're trying to do is be a little bit ahead of what we think is a lot of capital that's going to be chasing industrial warehouses. If you think about the disruption real estate has seen in the past year, hospitality. You got a lot of people investing in hospitality. True office, creative office space, right? Like, the pre-COVID, I mean, the creative office space was one of the most exciting investments people were making in real estate, right? And so now you have the world swirling, and what's going to play out over the next 5 years, who knows? We think industrial warehouse, because of its consistent performance, is going to continue to have appeal. And, you know, in the Midwest, candidly, you can still find attractive cap rates, which lead to really nice cash flow.
Right. And the way that you guys are developing those leads, I would just assume that's through key broker connections.
Yeah, key broker connections. We prefer everything off market. Every now and again, we'll buy something that's been listed, but we don't like to be in a really competitive bidding process. It's not our style. What we would prefer is, Sam, you own this asset. You have some need to sell it quickly, and you don't want to go do the big song and dance and have 80 different investment groups walk through your building. Call us. We'll come to an agreement where we think both of us will be happy. We'll work through due diligence as quickly as possible, and we'll go close the deal quickly.
Right.
So that's the appeal, right?
Yeah.
That's the reputation we're trying to uphold.
Yeah. And it sounds like you are living up to that, which is probably why people keep sending you deals.
Yeah. So. And that's it. I mean, like, once you get the deal flow opened up, brokers get a sense of who you are and how we do business. And back to the conversation we had about remote, like, when you have to displace a tenant in the apartments, how are we going to do it? We're not slapping a sign on the door.
Right.
We're being people.
Right.
Right. We're putting people first. I mean, that's one way to create value in operations. And we take the same approach with our tenants in these industrial buildings. Like, we want to be human, and we want to build a relationship that when it comes time to negotiate, that relationship will hopefully lead to them being a little bit stickier of a tenant. Because every building we buy, we want the tenants to stay. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And we do think we're buying leases that are under market, and we're never going to be the guys that say, oh, no, the market's $5 a foot. You have to be paying $5 a foot now. No, it's like, hey, okay, listen, we understand you're under market. We understand the benefit that it is for you. It is for us. We have to come up a little bit, you know, and let's make this work. So the reality is, if you buy right, that tenant's going to look around the marketplace, mm-hmm. and they're going to see that they're getting a smoking deal.
Right. And sticky tenants are key there. Having tenants that you don't have to worry about them vacating, that really helps. underwriting and just having a solid business plan. I'm curious, we talked about this before we kicked this off, about an office to apartments project that you guys have done.
Yeah.
And, you know, the office space is something that a lot of people are, you know, down on, not sure where it's going. I'm really curious how you found the project, and we're almost out of time, but just if you can quickly run us through that deal, because I think that's just something fun to talk about.
Well, it's a fun project. Not, I mean, geez, I said we had some brain damage from it.
Okay.
And we learned a lot. Planning is not easy in Santa Barbara and California in general. Santa Barbara is particularly difficult because they have really high development standards. This was actually built as apartments in the 50s. It was added onto in the 70s. And in the 90s, it was being leased up as office suites because that was highest best use.
Wow.
Property was marketed, listed for a long time, probably hadn't had any capital improvements in over 20 years. It was exhausted, the building, and it was like 90% occupied.
Oh, wow.
But they were paying dirt cheap rents, right? So when you looked at the asset on a OM on LoopNet, you were like, okay, you got a exhausted office building that needs a bunch of capital improvements and all the leases are 40% below market. So all of that entire story tells you the only way this property is selling is if it's at a really low price, right? And it sat on the market for a long time. We ended up getting in contract at a very low price per square foot. And it was in the price per square foot was like $274, which in Santa Barbara is about half the price of what it should have been.
Wow.
What we were focused on was what would a really nice apartment complex sell for from a price per square foot perspective.
Mm.
And we were seeing upwards of $900. So if that is any indication, then there's a huge spread there.
Sure.
Now, what does it take to go and get something entitled to be able to turn it into apartments? There was a lot of planning that we went through. It took us about 14 months. And we thought we were going to have 17 apartments and we ended up with 23. So we went and had to reconfigure the entire interior of the building to now house 23 apartments with 23 meters, 23 independent units. So it became a jigsaw puzzle. It felt like we had a balloon. And if you squeezed one side, then the other side would blow out, right? So it was a fun project to work through. Now that I'm sitting in the position that we're probably a couple of weeks away from our certificate of occupancy. A year ago when we got approval for permits and we needed more construction funds and we were dealing with the height of the COVID crisis, it was far more stressful than today. But the good news is we bought right. And that's how you can create a lot of value in real estate. When you buy right on the front end, you do a bunch of work on the front end and it helps you along the entire ownership timeline. Because when we needed more construction funds, because we got the additional 6 units, the bank looked at it, underwrote it and said, oh, this is great. You guys already created a significant amount of value and you have construction permits in hand. Absolutely. Well, we give you another $1 million for a construction loan. No problem.
Wow.
So that was pretty, yeah, that's what you call, we optimized for a really strong apartment complex, but to get an additional units, it took this thing from a base hit to a home run.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. You went from what you say, 17 to 23.
Yeah. Big jump. And those units, we think they'll be worth about maybe $450 a door when we're leased up.
Wow. Good for you.
So you can, you know, when you think about the value those extra units create, it's significant. Yeah. It's significant.
Yeah, man, that's fantastic. Good for you. That's always fun just to hear creative solutions and, you know, really just not take a no for an answer and finding a creative way to get it done. I think that's
And we're trying to repeat that business plan, but what's required is you have to have the right zoning of the project and then you have to be able to buy an office building at a very affordable price. Mm. And so office buildings are naturally cheaper price per square foot than apartments in today's market in Santa Barbara, but there's not a lot of really distressed office buildings out there. And that's what we need. So we're trying to tell all the brokers in town, we're the guys that buy really distressed office buildings in this specific zoning section, you know? So it's like a needle in a haystack pursuit. Right.
But hey, man, I mean, how many needles do you need in haystacks?
Yeah, just a handful every 10 years, you know. Five good projects every 10 years.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Dan, this has been awesome. I really enjoyed our time together here. Let's jump into the final four.
Yep.
What is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
Yeah, do your work on the front end. We do a tremendous amount of work and due diligence. And I'm an optimist, but things don't always work out as you envision. So you'll save yourself a lot of heartache and heartburn by making sure that you're buying right.
Yeah, love that. When it comes to investing in yourself, what is one thing you're doing to stay on top of your game?
Health, physical health. I mean, the world is your time. Time is the only asset you have. So I try to make sure I work out every morning, gives me a clear head and makes me feel a little bit more energized. And I really just try to focus on taking care of myself. As long as I'm healthy and fit, then I can go put in a really good day and I'll get the most out of myself.
Right. No, I love that. When it comes to investing in the world, what is one way you're making the world a better place?
Yeah, I think the housing crisis in Santa Barbara is real. And what we want to do is we want to be proactive in solving it. So building apartments, adaptive reuse case, like the office to apartments, and then taking old, really tired buildings that, you know, people maybe shouldn't be living in and repositioning them so that they're a clean, safe, healthy place to live. That's how I think about, you know, making this a better place, making Santa Barbara a better place to live for a lot of people. We're going to have a nice impact on that.
Right.
Which excites me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Dan, this has been great. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Our website's drivencap.com. So just www.drivencap.com. My email is dan@drivencap.com. Shoot me an email. Check out our website. On our website, you can sign up for our mailing list, sign up to our investor portal, check out what we got going on. And Sam, like you, man, just looking to do business with good people. I mean, I'm very focused on relationships. And as long as I feel like I treat people well, I feel like it'll be reciprocated. So that's really what we focus on. So if folks are interested in investing, partnering, whatever, feel free to reach out to me.
Awesome. Dan, thanks so much for your time today. Do appreciate it.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.